The spies come home, the scouts come home with a damning report. Bad news bears, we are not going to the land of Israel. They'll massacre and slaughter us. And everybody weeps. Oy, do they cry. The night of Tisha B'Av. And the heavenly voice says, you want to cry? I'll give you what to cry about. Unfortunately, this became a night of weeping and mourning for us. God says to Moshe, I'm finished with these people. Akenu vadever, I will smite them with pestilence. That's it, I get rid of them. Once I get rid of them, I'll make a new people. And so, Moshe now assumes the role as defense minister. Now he has to defend us. This is not the first time he's role-played as defense minister. He's been defending us before. However, you'll see that this time, Moshe Rabbeinu's methodology is markedly different. Chapter 14, verse 13. Vayomer Moshe el Hashem. Moshe says to God, Vishamu Mitzrayim. But if you do that, Egypt will hear. Ki ha'eliso b'chaychacha es ha'om hazeh mikirbay. For you took this nation from the land of Egypt. You lifted them up with your great might. And what happened then? And then you killed them. And then they died. Ve'amru el yeshev ha'aretz. They'll say to the dwellers of the land, Hazois this one, meaning Canaan. Shomu ki ata Hashem bekerav ha'am hazeh. We heard that God is in the midst of this people. Asher ayin ba'ayin, which eye to eye. We'll see what this means all in a moment. They see God eye to eye. Ata Hashem, va'anoncha imid aleim, and your cloud, your glory is upon them. Uva'amud anon ata heluch ifneim, and with a pillar of smoke or a cloud of vapor, you go before them. Yemam, va'amud esh loilo. And then there's this pillar of fire at night. And verse 15, tezvav, ve'imata esau mazek yeshechet. And you kill this nation, just like that, like one person. Ve'yomru ha'goyim asher shomu es shemacha. Those who have heard about you, what will they say? They'll say, Leimer, mibilti yecheles Hashem lahavi yisam hazeh el haaretz. The God that took them out of Egypt could not bring them into that land. Asher nishba lahem, he made a promise. He couldn't bring it. And therefore, vayishchotem b'midbar. He slaughtered them in the desert. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, we're going to have a hasbara problem over here. The nations of the world will say bad things about you, God. You can't do this. It just won't work. Let's revisit this verse now in detail. Bishamu Mitzrayim. Egypt will hear. So Rashi says, it doesn't mean that the Egyptians will hear that the Jewish people left the land of Egypt. They're not going to hear about that. They saw it. They were first-hand witnesses to that. So what does it mean, Bishamu Mitzrayim? Vishamu, Rashi says, they'll hear, Egypt will hear, Es Asher Tahar Game, that you have killed them. That's what Egypt will hear. So Egypt will hear you killed them. And what's the point here? The point here is, Ki He'eliso, because for you have lifted them up. What's Ki He'eliso? Says Rashi, Ki, the word Ki, which can have various meanings and a variety of tenses. Here it's Mishamesh B'loshen Asher, which? The nation which you brought up, you killed. Vehem, the Egyptians. Ro, they saw with their own eyes. Asher he'eliso b'chechacha ha'gadol. This is not something they heard. They saw with their own eyes how you have raised them up with your great might. They saw this. B'kirbam. And then because they saw, precisely because they saw the miracles that happened, precisely because they saw how magnificent, extraordinary the Exodus was, Kishayishmu Sha'ata Hergam, when they hear that you're killing them, they're not gonna say Shachatu Lacha. The Israelites sinned against God. They vexed him, incited him, disobeyed him to the point that God finally said, I had enough. No. Elo Yemru, they'll say Shekenegdam, that against them, against the Egyptians, Yechalta Lihilachim, you could have fought with them. However, when it comes to the dwellers of the land is Canaan, of course, as Yisrael, lo yachalta lehilachim, you were unable to contend in battle. And because you couldn't contend in battle, v'zoyi, and this is how we should understand the ensuing verses. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu says, in the event that you will do as you said, if you will slaughter them, if you will knock them down and smite them, and finish this nation off, here's what Egypt is going to say. They're not going to say the Jewish people sinned. They're going to say that God, he took them out of Egypt in this literal explosion of fireworks, most amazing miracles. And they just killed him. Yeah, he couldn't keep his word. He couldn't deliver, so he got rid of him. That's what they're going to say. You think so?
Isn't this a case of deja vu? Yeah, Hashem threatened to kill them at Chet HaEgel. It's kind of the same argument. So why even go through these motions again?
I'm so happy that you raised that point. It's actually not the same arguments. We'll soon see about that. Moshe Rabbeinu's arguments are very different this time.
Yeah?
Yeah, very different.
Sounds familiar.
No. It's actually really not familiar. Let's first follow these arguments through. And then we'll see the Rebbe contrasts these arguments with the arguments Moshe Rabbeinu made last time, and he shows how actually it's very different. And his question is, why isn't the argument more similar? You think so?
Even Hashem would threaten to kill the nation when he knows that Moshe is going to raise arguments to say, so he's going to relent and say, okay, fine.
That's Moshe Rabbeinu's job is to make those arguments. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of the Rebbe, the Jewish people. He expects him to make those arguments. He expects him to yell and scream and do everything possible to defend the Jewish people. That's a good thing. Anyway, let's just hear what the argument is first. So this is what Moshe Rabbeinu says according to Rashi. Now, of course, you could ask the question, how is it possible that you can make the argument that God could fight Egypt and he can't fight Canaan? So Rabbeinu Bechaya says, they will think, not that the nation is too strong. What, the tanks are too powerful? It doesn't make any sense. He said they'll think that the Canaanites have a stronger god. God couldn't fight with the Canaanite god. He could destroy the Egyptian gods. Remember, they believed in shamans and spirits. They believed that there was this, they believed in divinities. They believed in gods. It's like they had a pantheon of gods. So it said the god knocked down all their gods. You remember that they used to worship the Nile River. That was like a god to them. So what does Hashem make? The Nile River turns into blood. And then in the very end, it's in front of this idol, Baal Tzafon, and he can't help them. And on the night of the firstborn Makas Becheres, it says that the idols melted. The wood idols rotted, and the stone idols crumbled, and the metal idols melted. So this was, in a sense, God striking the idols of the Egyptians. And they said, oh, the idols are stricken, the idols can't fight the God. And they'll say, therefore Rabbeinu Bechaya says, that the God of the Canaanites was stronger. This God of Israel couldn't fight the God of the Canaanites. So what did he do? He got rid of him. So this could be a compelling argument. Not that God can't fight, because God, why can't God fight people? He could destroy a whole Egyptian army, can't destroy a Canaanite army. It's actually not logical. It's a silly thing to say. But this is not a silly thing to say. So the Canaanites had a higher form of spirituality. A stronger, more powerful God. He'll come to their aid. The Abarbanel says, much of the Exodus is punctuated with this idea that God says they will see. Egypt will see. They will see. The world will know. Abarbanel says this is going to be the opposite of everything you accomplished. Previously, when it came to doing things which would bring about the presence of God and a Kiddush Hashem, so all your miracles did that. Now that the people are going to be destroyed, what will it be? The opposite of the Kiddush Hashem. What will they say? He can't do it. So it'll be the opposite of a Kiddush Hashem. Now Ramban emphasizes that when it says Va'amru el Yeshiv Ha'aretz, he says literally, the dwellers of Egypt, the citizens of Egypt, will communicate to, Ramban says very interesting play on words, el Yeshiv Ha'aretz could be read as to the nations. He says, Ramban says it also read as El Yeshiv Haaretz, to the God of those who are sitting in the land. So he says they'll say to or about the God of those sitting in the land, the God that the Canaanites worship, they worship a better God. we worship a stronger God, the God of Israel. He couldn't contend with this new God that he was up against. Let's take a look in Rashi. El Yeshev Haaretz. Rashi says, Kemoi al Yeshev Haaretz. That the word El should be understood al, as if they'll say regarding, about. What will they say? That which shows up in verse 16. They'll say, Mi bilti yechilas Hashem. God couldn't do it. And because he couldn't, he had to save face. So the way he saved face was simply by getting rid of them. Bishvil Shishamu. Why will they say this? Because they heard Kiata Hashem Sheikhin Bikirbam, that you, God, rest amongst them. Ayin ba'ayin, atanir alehem. And you reveal to them yourselves to them in a manner of, quote, eyeball to eyeball, va'kel b'derechiba. And everything about your relationship with them has been in a manner of endearment and love, and you cherish them so much. And v'lehikiru b'cha, she'tinke ahavascha. They don't know, pardon me, shenitka, that the love that you have has become truncated. They don't know it's come to an end. Nobody knows. You know, unfortunately, sometimes you hear marriages crumble and people wonder, they were so good. They had such a good marriage. Yeah, that's what you thought. That's what looked like to you. So to the world, this marriage of God, the Jewish people, looked great. It was such a good marriage. And then all of a sudden, he went and got rid of her just like that. He must be Meshuggah. Well, don't be so sure. It wasn't but people don't say that. So what does it mean, ayin ba'ayin? Rashi doesn't really explain that. The Sefarno says that this is the idea of hashgacha pratis. Ein hashgachascha. The eye of Hashem, that Hashem is constantly supervising them, so to speak, that Hashem is like involved with their life. And Ramban says this is a euphemism for when you're feeling close to a person and you speak to a person face to face. Even more than face to face is eye to eye. It's like sometimes when people are uncomfortable, they avoid eye contact. They're afraid to look at you. It's so funny. He's just a sassy little girl. Come here. There you go. Hey, you're supposed to keep that.
There we go.
Okay. So this is the business of ayin ba'ayin, that it's as if the conversation was, so to speak, up front and eye to eye, like it was a direct relationship. Va'anoncha imed aleihem, we said in verse 14, that your cloud is upon them. So the rekeach, the Baal rekeach says, doesn't mean your cloud is upon them, not literally, but like the cloud of glory was spread over them. So Hashem like kind of like created this atmosphere, almost like a great big hug. Which is interesting, because the sukkah that we sit in is actually metaphorized as God's hug. So this was God hugging the Jewish people, and then he went and killed them. What did everybody see? They don't know the Jewish people are sinning. This is what they saw. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you can't do it. Vehimata sa'amazeh, pitaim, suddenly. They don't know the whole background. They don't know the kvetching. All of a sudden, because it was so sudden, Yemru, they'll say, Hagoyim asher shomu shemacha, the nations that have heard, the Goyim, they'll say, etc. That's it. There must be a reason here. Something went wrong in the plan. Mibilti yecheles. Lefisha yeshvei haaretz chazokim v'gibodim. Rashi says that we can understand this literally. They could say that the nations of Canaan were simply too strong, too powerful, too well fortified. You cannot compare battling the Pharaoh, even though he was the most powerful monarch in the world, to battling 31 kings. As we know, that the land of Eretz Yisrael was so coveted that 31 different countries actually had satellite provinces there. And there were 31 different governments that were invested in the land of Israel. 31 kings, 31 armies. So God couldn't battle 31 armies. That's why he backed out. Zois Yoimru, this is what the Egyptians will say and others will say, Al Yeshev Ha'aretz Al Zeis. That's what they'll say about the Canaanites. They say, Mibilti Yecheles, he couldn't do it. He didn't have the wherewithal. Because he couldn't bring him, shchotam. He slaughtered him. He got rid of him. Rashi says yecheles is shem davarhu. Means like he didn't have the wherewithal. It's a name of something. So it's a noun. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu's defense. Of course, we know the rest of the story. What's the rest of the story?
Hashem relents.
How do we know? Because we're sitting here, right? However, the generation that didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael doesn't go to Eretz Yisrael. What happens is that whole generation does die, but not Pita, not suddenly. Over 40 years, And then only the next generation comes into the land of Eretz Yisrael. So, Nathan, you started correctly, or perhaps incorrectly, saying, I heard this already. We read this book. We saw this movie. Yeah. Moshe was saying the exact same thing. Well, open up the Biurim book, the page Reish Chav Beis, and let's go to Simen Chav. And the Rebbe actually asks a big questioner. Incidentally, this question is asked by the Abba Benel, Rabbeinu Bechaya, and others.
I'm in good company.
But the question is, you said it was the same thing. Deja vu, we've been here already. Yeah. Not exactly. Rebbe says, Yesh le tmoya, there's something quite astonishing about this whole narrative. Could Moshe Rabbeinu not come up with a better defense? Could he not have mentioned some kind of virtue of the Jewish people instead of just saying, we have a Hasbara problem? What will the world say? He couldn't defend the Jewish people finding something virtuous about them? After all, it was nothing other than Hachshash b'nei teguvasim shal goyim. How will the nations react? Last time he did. V'achein, last time, Shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chalas es b'nei Yisrael. You're right, deja vu. God has planned to do this once before. You're making noise. God did plan to do this before. And that was La'achar Chata Egel. That was after the sin of the golden calf. And at that time, Hishtamish Moshe b'shtei tainus. Moshe Rabbeinu then famously used two lines of region, two lines of reasoning. What were the two lines? Aleph, number one, Loma Hashem yechere apcha ba'amecha. God, why will you allow your anger to flare against your people? This is the nation. Asher Yitzesa me'eretz Mitzrayim. This is the nation that you took out of Egypt. But you did it b'keach gadol, with great strength. You did it b'yad chazaka. You did it with a mighty arm. So you love this nation. This is the nation you took care of. So if this is the nation you took care of, this nation you love, how can you do that to them? And then Moshe Rabbeinu said, and then he went into the Hasbara issue. Then he said, Lama Yemru Mitzayim. Why will the Egyptians say? They'll say, Bera'ah Hitzayim. He took them out with bad intentions. He never planned to take care of them. He was just going to destroy them. Laharigaysim Baharim, to have them, to strike them down in the mountains. Ulachalaysim, and to destroy them, Mi'al Pnei Adama, from the face of earth. So Moshe Rabbeinu's defense last time was two-pronged. He said, this is your nation. You love these people. You care so much about them. I know you're angry now, but you love them so much. How could you do this? And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, and even if you didn't love them so much, which you do, and even if you didn't have such endearment, and you didn't invest so much in them, Lama Yemru Mitzayim, why would you want the Egyptians to say that? So he invokes the Hasbara problem secondary. It's only secondary problem. The first issue is, Rabbeinu Shalalem, you love your people. You love your people. Take care of them. This time, Moshe does not do that at all. He goes straight to the issue of, what will the nation say? That's a question. How come now it's a different approach? How come the defense minister changed his tactics? So the Rebbe says, Habir Bazer, the explanation is as follows. Mashmo satiyun, Loma Hashem yechere apcha ba'amecha. The intimation, the meaning. You're making so much noise, baby. Come here. In the mouth, that's all. Shh. Right, you make noise. The meaning of Loma Hashem yechere apcha ba'amecha, hu lemaise, bakosha me'akadosh baruch hu, hizdamnos, lahanik levnei Yisrael hizdamnos nesefes. What Moshe Rabbeinu is really saying to God, in other words, is, can you please give him another chance? Give him another chance. You love them so much. So give him another chance. Do you have to come down so hard? Do you have to be so harsh and draconian in this discipline? Give him another chance. That's essentially what Moshe is saying. So here's the problem. And la'achar she'yachzeru b'tshuva, after do tshuva, you'll see everything will be reconciled. We'll get it back to what it was before. The problem is, it is deja vu. That's the issue. The mikra shel fanenu lumazes. Higdem Moshe, the Omar, higdem HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amalu Moshe. God says to Moshe, ad ono yinatsuni ha'omaze. How much longer will this nation incite me? Ad ono le'aminu bi. How much longer will they not believe in me? Will they not listen to the words I say to them? In other words, Kalaimer, Medubar behisnago sachayzede salatzma, shuv v'shuv. The problem exactly is deja vu. That's exactly the issue. It's again and again and again. It's not never again. It's again and again. Again and again and again. Think about all the times the Jewish people have complained since then. Think about all the lack of faith they've had. Where's the water? Where's the bread? Where's the beef? We travel too fast. We travel too slow. Why are we running from here? Let's get out of here. A major rebellion in building a golden calf. And now, we want to go to Israel. We'll stay right here. We like it. He was complaining yesterday. Yeah, we're going to stay here. We changed our mind. The problem is, it's been kvetching, complaining, rebelling every step of the way. So, v'im tinas lahem is davnis nesefes. If you give them another chance, what's going to happen? I mean, same thing's going to happen. As Einstein famously said, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing again and again and expecting different results. What do you think is going to happen? Give them one more chance. Okay, God says, fine, Moshe. I give them another chance. And then they do the same thing all over again. So what's the point? If they keep doing the same thing all over again, it's better just to, you know, let's end it here. Let's finish it off over here. B'matzav shekazeh, in this kind of situation, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, God says to Moshe, Mutar L'Chalas Es Bnei Yisrael, it's better to just finish off this people. Akenu Badever, I'll smite him, I'll make it quick. V'zeis L'Tevasam, it's good for them. Let them die not being sinners. Let them do tshuva now and die with tshuva. K'dei Shela Yiyu Aleim L'Chis Chai Einesh V'Sevel B'Ikves Hismardius Chayzreis. If they stay alive, what happens? Rebellion upon rebellion, and then another rebellion, and they get punished and punished again, and then they rebel again and punished again. They don't learn anyway. Finish. Get rid of them. Like, take them out of their misery. I'll take them out of their misery. And in this way, since they're anyway going to be doing bad things, techaper aleihem misasim, their death will serve as an atonement for them. Ve'im yizku l'chayilim haba, at least they get a slice of heaven. At least they merit eternity. Let them do tshuva now. Let them die with tshuva. And finished. It's very interesting. The Rebbe said the language of the yishchatim comes from the word like shchita. Like literally, like slaughter an animal. So the animal actually gets an upgrade. He goes from the animal realm. What happens to him? He goes to the human realm. He gets upgraded. Because he gets consumed by the human. You know that famous story I told you many times? That once of Shmuel Batzal, famous Chassid Ashbatzu, having a Fabrengen, and they ran out of Fabaisen. They ran out of food. So it was a little more mashka, but there was no food. Everybody was getting up to leave, and he wanted Fabrengen to end. All he had was a little goat that gave some milk. Once one of the Chassidim was a Sheikhet, another was a Katzav, a butcher. Before you know it, he says, guys, go quickly, take care of the goat, and we'll have more food over here. Well, the next thing you know, the goat was being eaten at the Fabrengen. And the Fabrengen continued. It was a great Fabrengen. Everything continued till the wee hours of the morning. The next morning, Shmuel Batzal's wife wakes him up and she says, Shmuel, somebody stole the goat. The goat is gone. He said, the goat's not gone. He said, what happened to the goat? He said, last night the goat was saying, bah. And tonight, this morning, the goat will be saying, Shema Yisrael. He got an upgrade. By Yishchotem, slaughter him, upgrade him. They upgrade him from this world where they have a chance to make trouble. To Ilum Hava, Gan Eden, you can't make any trouble in Gan Eden. That's it, finished. Put him into heaven. In heaven, there's no trouble. In heaven, there's no opportunity to make rebellion. So Moshe Rabbeinu knows that if he's going to come this time and he's going to mount the defense, give him another chance, what's the result going to be? Oh, Moshe, please, another chance for what? So we have the same thing all over again? So this time, Moshe Rabbeinu's got nothing left in his arsenal. He's got no arrows left in his quiver. The only thing he can talk about is Hasbara. He says, Rabbeinu Shalalem. Moshe Rabbeinu could not have asked Hashem's forgiveness, Lema'an B'nei Yisrael, for the defense of the Jewish people themselves, because from that perspective, death would have been good for them, from a spiritual perspective. And so, as Atiyun HaYochid, the only defense mechanism that Moshe still has, Bam Tacht Shal Moshe, in his quiver, the only arrow left is now, Shomu Mitzrayim. Egypt will hear, and the Omru HaGoyim, the nations will say, we need to stop the Chilul Hashem. There'll be a terrible Chilul Hashem amongst the nations of the world. And God comes out looking bad. Moshe says, forget the people. You come out looking bad. It's a Chilul Hashem. And this HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts. But these people are not going to go to Eretz Yisrael. They will die. they will suffer with their sins, but that will take a whole generation, a slow 4 decades, and only later, the next generation will be poised and ready to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael and to build the Jewish Commonwealth, which will ultimately climax with the Beis HaMikdash and the presence of the Almighty amongst Am Yisrael. Unfortunately, as we know, that didn't last either. But hopefully, very, very soon, the story will come to its final conclusion with the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash. Mehera, will be Amenu. Amen. Amen.